You're listening to The Morning Rush with Bill Carroll on News Talk 580 CFRA.
So a lot of focus on what the premier is going to do today, if anything, about the numbers we saw on the weekend. 1,000 case record was set, but Brian Lilly of Sun Media is on the line with me, and I don't think he'll disagree with me on this. Pretty stark. I noticed it this morning when I first woke up, because I like to start with just the raw data, Brian, and then I like to read people like you and see how you're interpreting it. But I want to just kind of get my own gut reaction without having anyone color it. And it's really stark when you look at two graphs. One, the daily case numbers, and you see the big hill that we climbed and then dropped in the spring into the summer. Now we've climbed even higher at this time of year. Even that graph on its own should somehow be, I think, adjusted based on the number of total percentage positives or the total number of tests, because even that number could be misleading. But it's scary, there's no doubt. But then you look at the number of deaths, and you see that same hill climbing. Obviously, the number of deaths didn't get as high as the number of people who contracted the virus, but they are directly related. You can see that the slopes look identical. They go up at the same time. They drop pretty much at the same time. That's not happening in the fall. There is a little bit of a blip. There's definitely an uptick in the number of people dying in this province, but it's not much more than we were at the summer when the daily caseload was at its lowest. That stood out to me. Is that something that you're hearing the premier is looking closely at as he makes a decision about what to do today?
I hope so. I can't say that I'm confident of that, because in the premier's public comments, he has repeatedly just looked at case numbers and cited case numbers, which is, it's the one metric and it's one that everyone can look at and say, oh yeah, case numbers are up, case numbers are up. Oh yeah, oh, we got to worry about that. But it's not the only measurement. And if you use that as the only measurement, then you would panic over these 1,042 cases that we saw reported yesterday. But, you know, as we've seen numbers go up over the last 2 months, we've still had days with zero deaths from COVID-19. In the past couple of weeks, we've had several of them. Most days, it's single digits. Even yesterday, it was seven deaths reported. And we can all agree that seven deaths too many. But this is not a virus that's going away. And back in the spring, as I point out in my column today, when we had 86 deaths, which was our high mark for the number of deaths recorded in a single day, that was April 30th, 86 deaths. We had 999 people in the hospital and more than 200 in ICU. We're nowhere near that today. So the premier needs to look at a lot of these numbers, the deaths, the hospitalizations, the intensive care units, and even the changing demographic of who's contracting COVID-19 before making brash decisions on locking down further parts of the economy.
Right. But one of the things you have to do if you're a political leader is you have to kind of anticipate it, because otherwise you're going to be criticized. If he'd locked down 3 weeks earlier, if we'd shut the border to China earlier, if. So you're trying to get out ahead of it. And that's the really tough. It's tough to know which metric to use when you're trying to get out ahead of something, especially when the situation is changing. The virus is the same, but who's getting it is different. I could look at those numbers as well, though, and Brian, and say, okay, but the hospitalizations are starting to go up a little bit. How far are we willing to let them go up? How far can we afford to let them go up? And the changing demographic is starting to change back again. We see the number of people under 40 is a smaller piece of the overall pie now than it was just a few weeks ago. So that's shifting as well. And I don't know how you do that. I don't know. You don't have a template for it. So it's really tough to know what to do. And as a political leader, you're getting pushed from both sides, right? You and I know this in the media. I could find an epidemiologist who says we shouldn't be closing anything, and I could find someone who says we should be closing everything.
Yeah. And so, look, this is why I've been asking the premier and his medical officer of health to show the numbers. I keep saying, show your work. And quite frankly, so far they haven't, which is an eternal frustration for myself and the government as they make these decisions. They show large-scale numbers and province-wide numbers, and then they say, but restaurants and gyms and movie theaters in these specific places have to close. And you say, why? Can you show me a connection? And they say, so many cases across the province. And you say, but where is the connection? Because, you know, we do have medical experts saying there are no correlations between cases and outbreaks in restaurants. The mayor of Ottawa said it. The medical officer of health in Ottawa said it before you guys were put into a modified stage two. Brampton is still telling me, or the region of Peel, which was also put in, they have no evidence of any spread in restaurants, and yet indoor dining was shut down. So on the weekend, I found this letter fascinating. The mayors of Oakville, Halton Hills, Burlington, Milton, all signed one letter, and then several of those mayors, plus the Halton regional chair, who used to be a Mike Harris PC MPP and Speaker of the Legislature, Gary Carr, they signed another letter with two progressive conservative MPPs saying, please don't put Halton back into stage two. And they showed their work and they showed their stats, and they said they went through how many people are in hospital, how many people, how many surge capacity beds Joseph Brant Hospital in Burlington has, what they can handle, and said, the numbers don't back up putting us into stage two. The premier has talked about that several times. He's asked about it by the media on an almost daily basis, and on Friday had hinted that it could be coming today.
But if you look at the, look at the reporting this morning, there's kind of a, I'm not going to say total agreement, but almost everyone I'm reading, including political, the health minister and others, are saying the numbers we saw on the weekend, you know, the over 1,000 cases a day, probably reflects Thanksgiving. So if Thanksgiving was a problem, it's because people had gatherings in their home. I don't know that you say, yes, we hit 1,000 because people are gathering their home, let's close more restaurants. That makes no sense to me. In fact, you could argue the opposite. If you close restaurants, there will be more gatherings at home where there's less control, where people don't wear masks at all, where there isn't someone cleaning the washroom off, all of those things that good businesses are trying to do. So, and that kind of feels like where we're headed. That's people are partying at home, so we're going to take away all the other shiny things that you like. Doesn't make sense to me.
And then you end up with, you know, people like Sam Oosterhoff, who is the parliamentary assistant to the Minister of Education and an MPP in the Ford government from Niagara, who posted a photo with somewhere between 30 and 50 people, I would say. Big family gathering down in Niagara over the weekend. He posted the photos on Facebook. Apparently didn't think he was posting them on his public Facebook. He was just posting it on his private, but it got out. Well, I don't care whether it's his public or his private. If you're part of a government telling people not to do this and then you go and have a huge party, that's irresponsible and goes against the same message. But it shows what people are doing, and it's not just Sam Oosterhoff. It's happening in other places. The biggest factor in whether COVID-19 spreads are the individual actions each of us take. My actions, your actions, Matt's actions, not Tripp's actions. Nobody cares about Tripp's actions.
No, that's
but
true.
Everybody else, we've got to worry about how people are behaving.
But even if we do say, you know, you had the spin class spread in, was it Hamilton or something?
Yeah.
Even in those cases, I think it's more a few individuals. We know that this, and I don't think we emphasize this enough in the media, that this virus, unlike a lot of others, is spread mostly by super spreaders. Something like 70% of the people who get it don't give it to a single other person. A small number give it to a large number of people at super spreading events. We have to crack down harder on the people who are not following the rules. If restaurants don't follow the rules, shut that individual restaurant down. Don't shut them all down. How do we punish, though, people, Brian, who have family gatherings and break the rules? Because they're harder to find. But if they post them on Facebook, maybe that's a good place to start.
Yeah, maybe it is. I mean, you don't want a scene like we saw in New York City on the weekend with cops trying to break down people's doors. That ends up being a bad look for everyone to wear. But just back to that SpinCo class in Hamilton, we were told, oh, the gym followed all the rules. Everyone followed all the rules. The gym did. The business did. But a report last week was that the super spreader at it was waiting on their test after not feeling well, went to get a test, waiting for results, starts going to class, and kept going to class.
Wow.
So that is the individual's case. What do they tell us? If you don't feel well, stay at home. If you think you've been exposed, self-isolate and monitor yourself. If you're waiting on test results, Don't go to a SpinCo class. Don't go bar hopping on Elgin Street. Don't be an idiot.
But it's a lot harder for governments to control individual behavior than it is to shut things down. So in the end, they do what they can do, I guess, and they hope that that sends a message. I think this far into the pandemic, though, I think it worked in the beginning. People would not have been awaiting test results and gone out. Now, they're always an exception. But in general, people would not have done that in April. Now they're not afraid anymore. So they get the test. They think, whatever. I've met 10 people who've had it, and they were all fine. They survived. And so the fear has gone. And if you're a government, there may be no way to control that.
I asked the premier on Friday, not a hostile question, but I just asked him, is there a plan for after the, because we're halfway through the 28-day modified stage two for Ottawa and Toronto. Is there a plan for dealing with this other than rotating lockdowns? He didn't have an answer for me. He talked about how we won't have an economy if we go over 1,000 cases. Well, now we do, and we still will have an economy. But we do need something, because as these leaders from Halton said in their letter, we will eventually lose public buy-in if you're not explaining things to people properly and fully. And if that happens, then they stop following the rules. I think that's what you were just talking about there.
Yeah, and I think that's about where we are. We're standing right on the edge of that. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
Brian Lilly, Sun Media. It's 8:19, The Morning Rush.